Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by my dear, dear friend, Ms. Nadia Cater.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm pretty darn good. I'm pretty darn good. I heard from a little birdie, which was you, that you got engaged.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
You were the one who popped the question?
Yeah, I was waiting a really long time for Danielle to make an honest woman out of me. And when she didn't, I decided to make an honest woman out of her.
There you go. Did you give her a ring?
Yeah, so this was like a comedy of errors I actually didn't tell you about. So on text. So I can tell you now, it's real quick. So I had this plan. We planned to go on a hike. So it's great about New Mexico. There's just so many trails and stuff. And there was this really beautiful hike that you could see the whole city and you don't really have to go that far. So we planned this trip and I was trying to figure out, I never been on the trail before. So I was trying to figure out where's the best place to do it. And then Danielle was like, oh, I want to take a picture. And I was like, oh, perfect. So I'm trying to like, so she's trying to position the camera for a selfie with her, you know, holding her cell phone. And yeah. I was like, okay, because she can't really see me that well until she angles it. So I'm trying to get like the ring box in the shot. Mm-hmm. So I ordered this ring from Etsy and it came in this really cute little wooden box. So I'm trying to like get it in the picture without her like totally, you know, not realizing it.
Yeah, yeah,
but she
yeah.
could feel me moving because I'm staring at the camera trying to smile. And so I was trying to like get in the shot and then she looks down. She's like, what is that? And I was like, oh man. So I was like, it's your birthday present, because it was also her birthday weekend. So it was part of the gift. So it was a Etsy ring. Trying to measure someone's ring size without knowing it is really hard. Like it's almost impossible unless they tell you directly. And it's so hard. So
there's no way to ask either.
Like, yeah, unless
just out of curiosity's sake, what's your ring size?
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so I was like, because I was stumbling, I was like, oh my goodness. So I like forgot some things I prepared. And I was just like, and she was like, is it a birthday gift or are you asking me something? And I was like, I'm asking you, do you want to get married? And she's like, oh yeah. And then she tries to put the ring on. So how it worked was when she was out, I took one of her rings and I printed off this sheet online that had all these different ring sizes and was comparing the ring to ring sizes. It's easier than getting a string and rounding it around. That's like another option is taking a ring.
Waiting for them to go to sleep and then measuring their fingers.
Yeah. But it turned out that I measured it wrong. So the ring was too big.
All right.
Well, so it didn't fit. This is so stupid. We got back home. We find a chain. I was like, do you want to still wear it? And we can put it on a necklace. She was like, great. We get a necklace. We put it on.
Proto and then
yeah, so she was, yeah, but we leave to go to a convention. We're at the convention all day. And then at the end of the day, I'm trying to find her. We were sitting next to each other at a talk. And I'm trying to like find her necklace because I realized I didn't see it. She lost it. She had her ring for about 7 hours.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe less than that. Lost it. I looked all over the convention. I asked hotel staff multiple times. This is so fucking stupid, I swear. And then I was like, okay, right when we were sitting in the convention, I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna order another ring because now I know your size. I ordered the exact same ring, different size, because she told me what her size was. And then we go home and I'm cleaning. And I find the ring in a corner on the floor. So it never left the house.
Well, now you have one.
Exactly. Because it fits me. Weirdly, it fits me because my fingers are huge. So it was just, I was like, wow, I guess it could have gone worse.
Sure, yeah.
It was not exactly a fairy tale proposal.
But is anything ever a fairy tale? It's better to have a funny story.
Yeah, Danielle had a ring for 4 hours and then lost. And she actually went on vacation with her mom overseas, So the ring didn't come in yet. So it's like she's engaged, but she has no proof. Sure. Not that she needs to prove.
I'm sure people believe her.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Without the ring, how can I believe you? What kind of a convention did you go to, by the way?
Oh, okay. So this is really nerdy, but I mean, this show can get really nerdy, so it's fun. It's acceptable. There's a local sci-fi and fantasy convention in Albuquerque called Bubonicon.
Nerd.
It's 50 years old, and they named it
after the Black Plague.
After the Black Plague, because apparently Albuquerque had a bubonic plague problem at some point, which I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Wait. Unless it came back?
Like, yeah, it's after the big one? Like,
okay. I was like, how slow are these waves? Yeah, so it's called Bubonicon, and I actually have one of their t-shirts in the laundry, and it's their mascot is a rat.
Sure,
and it's yeah, and this is ridiculous. So it's very small. And a lot of it tended to skew older, so they call it more of a general sci-fi and fantasy, and it focused more on authors. So George R. R. Martin showed up. He was the big name. And there was some sci-fi authors by the name of Carrie Vaughn, who was like the co-guest of honor, and Rebecca Roanhorse. So they write more kind of like traditionalist kind of fantasy. Yeah, but mostly it was like some people selling books. Like I bought a bunch of paperbacks, and I didn't even realize until after I got home was the woman I bought them from, who was 99 years old and took 20 minutes for like each order to hand write me a receipt. Almost every book she sold me was signed. She has the bubonic plague and it pickled her for this whole time.
Yeah.
But it turned out that every paperback I bought from her was signed. And I didn't even realize it.
Wow.
Yeah, so I have like a bunch of just all these random paperbacks. And I was like, this is fun that I got the author's signature. I didn't even realize it. So George R. R. Martin is kind of like a rambly old man nerd, which I think you can expect that. He had these two young women who were in their 20s as his staff. Sure. And it seemed like their entire job was to make sure he goes where he's supposed to go. Because he would just like randomly, sorry?
And give some ham sandwiches. He needs them.
I assume so. But basically at one point, he was supposed to go into a talk. And instead of going into the room, he turned around and he was looking up. He was like, oh, books. And he kept looking at books. And then the women were like, okay, George, come on. Just and kind of like hurting him. Like, and I said to Danielle, I'm like, I can't tell if this is like old man nonsense or like undiagnosed autistic nerd nonsense, just hyper-focusing on, she's like, I think it's both.
I mean, he wrote 10 zillion pages on this, like that sounds pretty obsessive.
Yeah. And he started his talk with, if you think you're here because I'm going to talk about Game of Thrones, then you're sadly mistaken. And then spent 30 minutes rambling about the the writer's strike and how he's not writing in solidarity. But I'm like, you wouldn't write anyway. I feel like he's trolling people.
Don't write, sir.
I was like, sir, you haven't been writing in years. And I think it's because you just don't care anymore.
He's probably having too much fun doing what he's doing.
Just rambling around. Apparently he just shows up to like random New Mexico like nerdy events.
That's awesome.
It's pretty, you know, I kind of appreciated someone of his like celebrity being like, I'm just gonna be really local. I like that. And he donates a lot to the arts and stuff here.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So I kind of have respect for that kind of big blundering cranky old man in that way. Respect. I appreciate that.
This is Pop Culture Man, children. Thank you so much for being here. This is a full episode. That is an episode that has news, it has trailer reviews, it has the chill session where we talk about what we're currently reading, watching, consuming, and it has our current obsessions, the thing that is on our mind right now. I have a good one.
Ooh, yes.
Nadia, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for telling us about your misadventures with George R.R. Martin. Let's start with some news. Let me just say, get out of the way. The probably the biggest entertainment news as of while you and I are recording this is that Danny Masterson from That 70 Show was sentenced to 30 years to life in prison for his rape convictions.
That is wild.
It's wild. It's wild because he's a middle-aged man, so he's probably going to die in prison. As he should, because he raped people. But the thing is, it's a bummer. Like, I can't think of anything interesting or funny to say about it. So I acknowledge it. There we go.
My question is, is Scientology finally loosening their grip a little bit? Because I feel like Scientology would not let this happen.
I forgot that he was a Scientologist.
Right. Or maybe they're just putting all their effort and energy into Tom Cruise.
I was gonna say, like, Tom Cruise would never be convicted of something like this. No.
We'll probably never see Tom Cruise with a dirty shirt. Like, he is protected.
Yeah. Oh, man. Someday something's going to come out, though. It's going to be glorious. Like a crazy book or something.
Someday.
Well, let's get to the rest of the news. When I say news, what do I really mean? I mean, this is not the place for you to come to be informed about the world, even the world of entertainment and pop culture, because I am not doing any research. I'm not doing any investigating. I'm not breaking any of these stories. I'm finding these stories online. And really, I'm just talking about the ones that I like, the things that are interesting to me. You know what I mean? There could be like a big, huge thing happening, and I'd be like, yeah, but I don't care. Like,
so would you say it's more like Mike's musings than news?
Well, it's my musings on current events of interest.
Your interest.
Yeah. For instance, did you play or are you aware of the game Stray?
Yes. I've heard of it. I haven't played it. Weren't you into it for like 20 minutes? Yes,
I played it. It's a short game. I went through the whole narrative of it a few times. I played it for a couple weeks. I really like it. It's a sci-fi sort of cyberpunk dystopian future, but you play as a stray cat who has a flying or sort of floating robot best friend, and there are no humans in the game. It's all robots and you as a cat, and it was a really fun game. Well, the game was put out by Annapurna, the sort of movie studio that's sort of like, it's kind of second to A24 in terms of like, we put out cool things and young people like us. So this is an article from Kotaku. Stray, that cute cat game from last year, is getting an animated movie. Last year, the internet... Who wrote this, by the way? It's from Kotaku. Who wrote it? Oh, written by Zach Zweizen. Last year, the internet and gamers went wild over Stray, a platformer about a lone cat wandering around a futuristic city. Now Annapurna's animation studio is actually developing an animated film based on 2022's most famous cat game. I'm going to say that I'm into this. Typically speaking, I do not like adaptations of video games because I feel like the video game medium is a sort of evolution, at least in terms of interactivity, of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
So to take a narrative that you were actively a part of and then just turning it backwards into a film, to me, feels redundant. It's only good if you're someone who doesn't play games but wants to try it. Like, I played and loved both The Last of Us games, and The Last of Us became a TV show recently, and everybody was talking about it and loving it, and people kept asking me if I saw it, and I kept saying, why would I watch it? I lived it. I played that game for weeks. I was Joel. You want me to watch someone else play Joel? So typically I'm against it, but because this game is such a short little game and it's such a little tone poem of a game, I feel like there's a lot to explore here. And I also like that it's animated, not live action.
I agree.
Links on video game adaptations.
I've never seen a good one. Unless you count the good in a very odd way, like the Super Mario Brothers movie with
the 90s one.
The 90s one, because it's so odd and strange. it's, well, using good or bad is stupid. I shouldn't say that. It's just enjoyable, but it's completely detached from the source material.
Sure.
Right? You could change the names of Mario and Luigi and Koopas or whatever, and it's just something right. completely different. There's nothing reminiscent except perhaps the mushroom kind of things, but even then, it doesn't look anything like the mushrooms in Mario games.
Did you see the new Mario movie?
No, I don't like Chris Pratt.
I understand.
I just like his this yeah. just the way he speaks and his affect just kind of annoys me to no end. He's kind of like he's like Ryan Reynolds to me. I can't watch things with Ryan Reynolds in it.
I like Ryan Reynolds, so you and I will disagree on that. But
and we can agree to disagree. That's totally fine.
Funny because this is the second episode in a row where we've shit on Chris Pratt. Last week, me and Vin did an episode where we talked about Mario voices and ranked him as the worst. So
Chris well, Pratt, yeah, isn't he just Chris Pratt at that point?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not a character. He's just like I'm an actor here for a paycheck.
Oh wow!
Like he doesn't embody.
Wrong.
Yeah. Well, anyway, as I digress.
All right. Listens to PCMC. He's like, oh, it's a new PCMC. Let's listen to it on our way to church or whatever he does. Whatever he's into. Out of that.
Oh
let's
man,
mega church.
I'm sorry if any of your listeners are Chris Pratt fans and have to listen to two episodes back to back.
I've talked shit about him for so long. I feel like most people either forgive it or they've turned off. And they're like, you know what? I refuse to be a part of this Chris Pratt hatred. I don't hate him. I just am not impressed. I don't think he's good at his occupation.
And anything he did. No, he's good in
like Parks and Rec. He's good in comedies and stuff.
I don't know. Even then, he's like the American cheese, like American slices. It's like, well, you know, you vaguely taste like cheese and you're doing the job of adding a cheesy taste to my sandwich, but you're not giving me much, you know? And you're just another 100 calories I need to slap on for some reason. Yes. But moving away, but back from like Stray, I didn't play Stray. I wasn't super interested in it, but I'm open to what they can grow out of the source material. Like you said, if it's not a completely realized plot and characters, you can do a lot with that world.
Right.
And in that sense, that is interesting in itself because it will spin off and be its own thing rather than trying to emulate an experience that you can't, right? You can't watch a television show and be a part of it.
Yeah. I mean, even if it wasn't a game and somebody told me, oh, there's a new animated sci-fi movie coming out where the lead character is a stray cat in a dystopian future, I'd be like, well, that's cool.
It like, sounds interesting.
Still a cool idea. And the aesthetics of the game are very, very cool looking. So if they can capture that, I think it'll be really a lot of fun.
Do you know, when you say animated, do you mean like not three dimensional. Do you mean like CGI or is it going to be like hand-drawn?
I'm going to guess I would love for it to be hand-drawn. No way it's going to be. It's going to be some kind of CG, you know, 3D kind of thing, Pixar kind of thing. Although hopefully more like, you know, if they did it like anime style, that'd be cool too. But, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? We'll see. The second piece of news is it's not. Let's be honest, it's not news. It is the stupidest thing you're going to hear today. But I'm here to report it. This is from Gizmodo. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles put their hand marks in cement outside of what was once Grauman's Chinese Theater. Now it's called the TLC Chinese Theater. I guess this is the tie-in with the new movie Mutant Mayhem. Let's see. Turtle power was on full display in Hollywood Thursday as four icons cemented their place in the pop culture history. Literally, Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, Raphael, a.k.a. the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, had their handprints immortalized outside TLC Chinese Theater in Hollywood, California. I hate saying TLC Chinese Theater. That's horrible.
What's TLC?
Like the Learning Channel. I guess that brand bought it. But the TLC is all like, I mean, the identity of the Learning Channel has been gone for like decades. Like, because it used to be educational, now it's like, you know, it's like every, it's like IFC now has like every day has like Everybody Loves Raymond reruns. Like, eventually they all just become like kind of syndicated.
The same.
Yeah. They lose their identity.
Well, I remember when the Learning Channel kind of shifted into all reality TV in like the early 2000s, right, to mid. Did they move away from that?
I think TLC is still mostly like, I think they're the ones that do like all like the tiaras and child pageant stuff.
Ew, we're still doing that?
I don't know. Probably. It's
cheap stuff. That's so gross. That was a weird shift, and now that's another weird shift that they made enough money to buy what was Grauman's Chinese Theater, the TLC Chinese Theater. Yeah, that's still
just called the Chinese Theater.
At that point, the Chinese Theater. But so were they people in costumes?
Yes.
Were they as bad as the early 90s TMT costumes?
Well, they're pretty TMT. Good. They're pretty good in emulating the look of the new animated movie. Teenage Mutant Turtles, I believe, have 3 or 4 fingers on each hand. I think 3 fingers on each hand. So I guess they put their like 3 fingers in the, I don't know how the felt didn't come out, but yeah, that's fun.
I didn't even realize that we still did stuff like that. You know, it kind of,
you still hear about like the Hollywood Walk of Fame, like the stars, like when they put the star in the sun. But you don't hear that much about this anymore, right? The people putting their hands in front of the Chinese Theater.
No, I honestly forgot they did that, and I forgot for like they occasionally did those kind of promotional stuff with in character or cartoon character. So it kind of, it feels weirdly nostalgic.
Wouldn't it be excellent if the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were next to, like, really important people? Like, it's Donatello right next to Orson Welles. Oh, look, Michelangelo's right next to John Huston. That's fun. Oh, look, put your hands, like, your hands are almost as big as John Huston's hands. That's fun, kids.
Oh, my God. Wow, oh, Raphael's right next to Mary.
Right next to Leonardo.
Can you imagine explaining to any of those people? I was saying Mary Pickford, but like, explain to any of the, it's like your achievement in cinema and film are showcased here next to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Some guys being paid minimum wage to take pictures.
I know, right? Who could actually like be in the costume? You know what I mean? Like nobody, certainly not the people who, they're voiced by real kids. So they like, it's not these kids.
Can you imagine being that guy? It's like, yeah, usually I do birthday parties, but then I got to go to the TLC Chinese Theater.
Today I was like at a press conference and people were taking my photo like crazy and people were like cheering for me. It was the greatest moment of my life.
Yeah, and then I'm doing a 7-year-old birthday party right after.
Right. I gotta make sure I don't get any concrete on the Ninja Turtle suit because I've gotta go to Times Square later and try to steal dollars from people.
You know, I didn't realize they actually did that. They like threaten people.
Yeah, they strong arm you into fucking paying them. That's terrifying.
See, I didn't know that because when I lived in New York, I wasn't stupid enough to go to Times Square. I would purposely avoid those streets and like get off before or after.
Right.
Like, but who goes to Times Square?
M&Ms. You got to get them from the M&M store.
Oh, yeah, and pay out the ass for it. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
One time I was forced to go to Times Square because for some reason I was going to someone's birthday party and their birthday party is being in a friend's house and or friend's apartment. For some reason, ungodly reason, this person lived like a block away from Times Square. And it took me 20 minutes just to walk 2 or 3 blocks to get to this apartment because of packed and they had those barriers up, so you can't even, like, you can only be on these sidewalks. And I was like, this is animalistic, and I am enraged. And
you're exactly right. I actually was there recently because they've got the last Disney store that exists is in Times Square. So me and Jen went to, we like to go to John's Pizzeria, which is near Times Square. That's a place that's like, we don't serve slices. You got to buy whole pizza. So we went to the Disney store and I got this thing, which is a vinyl artistic interpretation of Mickey. I forget the artist. J-Led. Is that the artist? It's very cool, like sort of two-dimensional thing.
You know, I like the new look where he kind of has this kind of cut-off jaw. Like, he's very round on the top.
Yeah.
And then the bottom is so... It's a very interesting and dramatic kind of change.
Yeah. Well,
that's cool.
I'm very obsessed with playing with the iconography of Mickey. Like, I love different versions of Mickey. Like, I love Halloween Mickey or Vampire Mickey because it's the only time Mickey's allowed to look scary, like, officially, which I think is interesting. My favorite Mickey outfit is when he wore that weird, like, spaceman outfit when they premiered the Star Wars ride at Disneyland in, like, the 80s. He's, like, wearing this weird, like, it's not Star Wars-y, but it's, like, this weird, like... It looks like Forbidden Planet style, like silver suit with a round dome on top. My favorite.
Oh, cool. That's great. So wow, the only Disney store left is in Times Square.
It might be some like in Disney World, but
right.
The only like retail one out there is the Times Square one. They're all gone.
I feel like there's something very like old school about that too, like going to a Disney store, because I remember the one at the Staten Island Mall was there for many years.
Yeah. Do you remember the Warner Brothers store?
That one was my favorite because they had that little spaceship you can climb in.
Yes, they had Marvin the Martian's spaceship. They also had Gremlins up in the rafters if you looked up, which I loved.
Oh man, I missed that. Those stores were gone for a really long time. And weren't they like really close to each other?
As long as Disney.
No, definitely not. I wonder how much, like, there has to be a reason why Disney closed a lot of them. They probably were losing money or something.
Well, during the pandemic, they were just losing tons and tons of money. I mean, every day that Disney World and Disneyland was closed, it's just a huge amount of money that is not coming into the company that they're used to. Anyways, you want to go to the trailers?
Yes.
All right. So the first trailer we looked at is from a film called The Book of Clarence, which is a film starring Lakeith Stanfield, who I just saw in Haunted Mansion, speaking of Disney.
Oh, how was it?
I enjoyed it a lot.
You know, there's two movies I didn't get to see this summer that I really regret. And one of them was Haunted Mansion, because it looked fun.
Yeah.
And it looked better than the Eddie Murphy one. And the new TMNT. It just dropped my radar.
I think the new TMNT is already digital, so you could probably find it now.
I know, but the experience of going to theaters is always so much fun.
It was fun. And Alamo had, like, their special menu, so they did, like, a special... like pizza for TMNT. It was like broccoli and goat cheese and I typically don't like goat cheese, but I enjoyed it.
That sounds so much fun. The one thing I do miss a lot is, for some ungodly reason, New Mexico does not have an Alamo Draft House. I feel like I have to call somebody because we're neighbors with Texas.
Yeah,
come over.
I have to call somebody.
Yeah. So the Book of Clarence, I really like Lakeith Stanfield. I think he's a great actor, and I really like his kind of deadpan demeanor that he has in comedy. But I'm going to be honest, from the trailer, it felt like it was supposed to be a comedy, but the way the trailer was cut made it almost seem serious. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I agree with you. You hear contemporary music in it, we should say what it's about. It's very similar.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It seems to be very similar to the Monty Python film, The Life of Brian, where there's a person who's a contemporary to Jesus and sees Jesus and says, I want to do the same thing as Jesus. Lakeith Stanfield is the person who wants to, you know, like, wants to become a messiah himself. And the trailer uses contemporary music, which always kind of makes you, whenever you see contemporary music with a period thing, it always makes you feel like this has got to be a little tongue-in-cheek. And some of the performances are sort of lively. You're right, there's not a lot of like jokes in it. But I am interested in whatever it is it's going to be trying to say. I do like that it seems like most of the cast are people of color, which would be historically accurate for that part of the world. Yeah, I mean, there's interesting stuff in the trailer. James McAvoy, I see him on the cast list, but I didn't see him in the trailer. I'm guessing he's Jesus, because the one shot you see of Jesus, he's like blown out and you can't really see his face.
Oh, yeah, I was trying to tell, and because what the trailer starts with, and you see mostly black people,
yeah.
And I was trying to like squint, and this is like, I was like, okay, so it's, they're all black people and they're listening to the Messiah, but you can't see his face. So I was actually looking at, he had his hand out, and I was trying to see if he was black or not. And I was wondering if they would do that.
Mm.
And I couldn't tell. It was just, it was such
a, I don't know either. Yeah. It could, it was such a quick, wrong.
It was a very quick shot too. Like, yeah. It kind of went back once or twice, but it still was not clear enough. And it seems like the Romans are played by white people.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And that was interesting. But yeah, so it's like, there's no jokes, and it's actually, the cinematography looks gorgeous.
Yeah, it does look very good.
It looks really good, and they have all this great talent, and oh man, I can't even remember the names right now. I just remember Lakeith Stanfield, and...
You got Lakeith Stanfield, James McAvoy, Benedict Cumberbatch, Alfre Woodard.
Alfre Woodward. Which are, they're all really good actors. So I'm like really interested in what this movie is. There's also at some point, it looks like Clarence is smoking a joint or something. Or he's smoking like what looks like a contemporary joint.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so this has to be funny, right?
But yeah, some of the way that they speak feels very contemporary casual. You know,
yes.
At the end of the trailer, I guess the Romans will force him to walk on water to prove he's a Messiah. And we don't see what happens, but we see him go to step into the pool. And then he just looks at the camera and he says something like, what the fuck? Or something like that. Or, oh shit, something. So I don't know what happens. But so, yeah, it definitely feels like very, like you see him and, the kid from Stranger Things. What's his name? Caleb McLaughlin. He like pretends to be blind, and like Lakeith Stanfield pretends to give him his vision back. It could be really fun.
I think it can be. I just think that the trailer itself was just odd in that sense, because I it's one of those moments, and it happens a few times. I forget how manipulative trailers are, When you see a trailer that isn't manipulative, or it's not in a way that you're used to, that's when you notice it.
Yeah.
Right. So I was like. Because definitely the way it was cut, if it was cut as a comedy, there would definitely just be more laughs in it. But it, you know, it's very strange. It definitely piqued my interest, though.
Well, you know, if there's something that can unify the three trailers that we're going to talk about today, I'd say that all three of these trailers did not show their hand. You get the sense from all three of these movies, or all three of these trailers, that there's some twist or something that is in the film that they're not telling us in the trailer, which is good.
Yes, absolutely. So it's kind of, it's enticing you in a slightly different way than what we're used to. And I'm wondering if this is something that's going to be happening moving forward. Like, you know, a new trend in trailers.
Let me tell you about the best part of this, though. I want to read some of the YouTube comments on this trailer. 677, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man showeth, thou shall he also soweth. Sorry, soweth, thou shall he also reap. This is another one. The industry can never leave Jesus alone. They always have to find a way to mock or blaspheme him just to show you how real he is.
The industry.
another comment. It's always respectful, everyone believes. That's literally what it says. It's always respect, everyone believes, and religion until it comes to Christianity. Someone else wrote Jesus is king and put a little king emoji, put a little like crown emoji. Someone else wrote, wow, this is really the end of times.
Someone Man, else Christians wrote, are angry.
They can't make a movie without blasphemy. Incredible. Another quote from the Bible, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. John 15, 18. Someone else wrote, Samuel, I should say, this movie is written and directed by James Samuel. This person wrote, Samuel watched Life of Brian once and said, hold my beer. Another quote, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that this day is coming. Psalm 37, 13. ESV. I don't know how the Bible works. So just from that, I could tell you that and maybe this is just Schadenfreude, maybe this is just a sickness with me. I'm kind of excited and thrilled by how upset it's going to make people.
It's like blasphemy.
So upset. It's going to make people so upset. Wait till Fox News hears of this. This is another strike on the war on Christianity.
If you're so upset, can you just go watch the thriving Christian film industry with $3 million a year?
I know.
Go watch Left Behind.
Go watch that weird new movie about child trafficking that's not true. Whatever the fuck that's called. Jimmy Caviezel. Jim Caviezel, who thinks he is Jesus now. He's in some like Christian movie that's like about child trafficking, but it's supposedly a true story, but we found out that it's mostly false information because there isn't a huge child trafficking. It happens, but there isn't a huge child trafficking problem that the right is constantly always screaming and scared about. And also the guy who wrote the book might also be a child trafficker.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But it's called Sound of Freedom.
Yes. They were also buying out theaters to be able to call the movie a greater success than it was. Like, there would be sold out screenings and then people would go inside and there'd be no one in them.
What?
Yeah. It's wild. But anyway.
That movie, I just had to look it up because I was like, I can't believe this is a thing. Oh, yeah. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. How much time do you need to spend watching a movie
like that? What's sad about it is that it tells a supposedly true story of little innocent children being sold into slavery and sex slavery. And of course that's going to upset any decent person, but it's weird because it's like rage porn. It's like,
yeah,
people watch it to feel incensed and then be mad politically at people that they think are letting this happen. But this movie's not true. So you don't have to feel upset.
Oh my God.
You know, it's funny. I live in Staten Island, which is a fairly conservative place, and I go to the gym here. And so most gyms here will have like Fox News on at least one screen. And I'll sometimes watch people watch Fox News, and even Fox News watchers, all they do is like look and then shake their head like, oh, what does the world come to? Because that's all it is for them. It's not like it's not like, ooh, Fox News, I enjoy it. It's like, ooh, Fox News, I'm going to grin and bear it, and it's going to upset me, and then I'm going to take that anger and put it out onto the world and young people. It's all about fear and upsetting you.
I really love the term you used, rage porn. It's like, it's...
Yeah, you there's a ton of it online, too. That's why one of the reasons I stopped looking at TikTok, because I found I was getting into... during the pandemic, there was a lot of TikTok videos of... that were aimed towards more liberal viewers that were like people who were in stores that wouldn't wear masks and arguing about how masks are fake and how COVID's fake. And I would watch it and get so upset and so mad and so like wanting to cancel this person. And then I was like, why am I feeling this right now? Like, this is a random occurrence that happened and I'm just happening to watch it. Like, you get sucked into that stuff. It's real bad.
Yeah, I feel like that's what made me quit Facebook years ago, because I was realizing I was checking Facebook and I was checking it like multiple times a day and getting enraged most of the time. And I'm just like, why am I waste? This is a waste of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of like bite-sized annoyances. Like, what's the point? Let's keep going.
Our next trailer is No One Will Save You, which looks like a fun movie. This movie is, it's a very interesting trailer. It's It's a looks like a alien sort of horror sci-fi movie. It stars Caitlin Dever from Booksmart, who I love. And there's no dialogue in the trailer, and there's no other people but her. So again, I feel like, what is this trailer not showing us? This is what the official synopsis is on IMDb. An exiled, anxiety-ridden homebody must battle an alien who's found its way into her home. So it looks scary. It's like, it's very like dark and kind of like blue tones. And it's like an alien sneaking into your house thing. What's interesting is it's from 20th Century Studios, which is what used to be 20th Century Fox, but now Disney owns it. And this movie is premiering on Disney Plus, which I'd rather it premiere theatrically, but I do think it's cool that Disney Plus is finally, you know, accepting that they own 20th Century and saying, you know what, like, if we have the streaming network or the streaming service, we can't just use it for family stuff. So when I saw Disney Plus at the end of the trailer, I was like, whoa, that's kind of a big step.
It was surprising.
Yeah.
My reaction to that trailer was I changed my mind about what it was about 3 times. And this is like a 2-minute trailer. So like at first it starts off and it really does the text on the screen. There's like a young woman scared at home and it says it's a home invasion story. So I'm like, okay. So is it like a dark Home Alone or something? Yeah. But then it cuts to like these kind of creature sounds and you actually like in the peripheral, you could see like a non-human creature with like bent legs, right?
Yeah.
That look odd and of course, very not human. So I was like, oh, okay. So it's really like a creature or a monster story. And then it got into like actually seeing these things and seeing a UFO. And so then it gets into UFO. So it's like, so it's an alien story and it just kept changing throughout that trailer you don't quite understand what you're looking at. You see, it's uncomfortable. There's like a sense of anxiety as she's running away from something.
Yeah.
But you don't quite, and you do get some glimpse of the alien and it's really creepy.
And she seems very isolated. It all seems like it's probably going to take place in one evening. It's interesting because it does look like, you know, what's that movie? Oh my God! This is where we're at. Where I don't
Signs.
No, what's that? It's a classic film. I think Alan Arkin is it. Oh my God! I'm gonna have to go through Alan Arkin's
filmography.
It'll take a while. No, yeah. What's the famous movie? People listening are screaming it at their fucking phones, because they know what it is. God fucking damn it!
When did it come out?
It is about a woman who is blind who there's a home invasion. It's a classic movie, god darn it.
Oh my God, wait. Wasn't the woman played by Audrey Hepburn?
Yes.
Oh my God, what is that? I know what you're talking... Wait, is it...
Wait Until Dark.
Dark. Ah, oh, I almost had it.
Wait Until Dark. Gosh darn it. Yeah, it looks like Wait Until Dark, but with an alien.
There was actually one human in that trailer.
Besides her?
Yes. It's so quick, you can miss it. And I know this because an hour before we started, I watched the trailers and took some notes. So there is like she's running and she's outside and she looks and there's a man in the distance, but he's all contorted and his head is like staring up at the sky. And it looks like it's against his own will.
Yeah.
So, and it does, but most of the trailer's empty. So it's almost like she's the only one left.
Yeah.
There's something going on. It really did. It felt a little like Signs. It felt like Wait After Dark. It felt like a bunch of different things that I'm familiar with, but also never seen I can't exactly say it's exactly like these things.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said before, it's another trailer where I feel like it's not tipping its hand. There's something that they're not telling us. You know, maybe the lead character can't speak, or maybe she's the last person alive on Earth, you know, like who or something like that.
Yeah, weird. Well, I was just gonna say it really, I'm usually not interested in UFO movies, but that was trying to do something different. So that's like interesting. I was gonna ask actually, do you think it would be weird or feel weird to watch a movie with aliens in it? After what was it, like a month now that there was that?
Well, I was gonna kind of bring that up too. Because yeah. I feel like aliens are having another moment. You know, they're having a moment again. I mean, there's always interest in aliens, but I feel like with Nope, the Jordan Peele movie, and this, and you know, that guy who went before the congressional said, like, another guy told me about aliens. I love how people, like, this is pure proof that there are aliens. And it's like, well, it's a, I mean, he is in a like government building, like, and I guess he works for the government. Like, it's not exactly the same as like the president saying there are aliens, but people, like, especially people on, again, on TikTok, or like, you know, like they've got that, you know, they have that address to you, like, isn't your mind blown, or the world is changing right now. It's an interesting time.
Did you listen to that? Because I was like, you know, I'm kind of curious. I want to listen to it.
Some of it.
I haven't listened to any of it. And you were like, this kind of sounds like a guy making shit up from what you're telling
me. I think that most people who believe in that stuff really believe in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're right or not, but I think people do believe in it. And sure. And much like Fox Mulder, I want to believe. I want to believe.
Oh man. Yeah, so I don't know. That was like a high, it was kind of weird though. It was like a big thing, and then it kind of like, yeah, we moved on with our lives.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. And then people point to that as cover up. Like, oh, see how quickly we moved on, and it's like, okay.
It's like, well, what else can you do? I mean, I know I'm like kind of poking at my own point, but it was really like, what else can you really do? Unless right. They land like here and they're actually speaking like it's the day the earth stood still or whatever. It's like, what else are you gonna do? I got bills to pay. I gotta eat.
I got bills to pay, man. I fucking, are these aliens gonna fucking help this economy? Do these aliens come with some sort of fucking carbon emissions eating machine that can help us?
Yeah, are they going to help us, or are they going to keep like abducting hillbillies and living in the middle of nowhere? Like, what are we doing?
That's so funny.
Oh my god.
So our last trailer is Cat Person. What did you think of this one?
Okay, so here, two out of these three trailers, I feel like I really thought it was one movie, and then it switched on me.
Yes.
Which, so I really thought it was kind of more like a college girl kind of like experimenting with her sexuality.
Yeah.
And then it kind of went really dark.
Yes.
Like really quickly.
I still feel like it's going to be comedic dark.
Or yeah.
By the way, earlier this week, my brother sent me the story and said, you got to read this. And I did not get a chance to read it. So if I had read it, we probably would have a really great conversation now, but that didn't happen. So let's both bask in the interesting place of we don't know yet what it's about.
So from what we gather from the premise, which this actor looks so familiar, and I can't place her. I know I've seen her in something before. What's her name? Sorry?
The female, you mean?
Yeah, the female.
Her name is Amelia Jones. She was in Coda. Did you see Coda?
No, I didn't.
Lock and Key?
That's it. I watched Lock and Key.
Nerd.
That was fun.
I know, I'm just fucking with you. Yeah. She was in one episode of Doctor Who. Yeah, tell us a little bit of what the premise is that you can glean from the trailer.
So this young woman who seems like a college student meets this older guy, which at first I was kind of like, well, I don't know. It seems like you're in college. You have to be at least 18 or older. This guy looked like he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like her telling her friend about this guy she met and that she kind of likes, and he meets her at her job. And it kind of almost seems like it's going to be something about like her sexuality and like their romance. But then it very quickly gets into him stalking her and right. sending her aggressive texts.
It looks like a rom-com in the beginning.
Yeah, and it just shifts so much. Yeah, so this is another movie that went like three different directions. I thought it was a sexuality thing. Yeah. I thought it was a rom-com, and then it went into, no, this guy is stalking and right. being scary. It got right. scary.
I think they have sex, and then she is not interested anymore, and he like becomes very weird and possessive.
Yeah.
There's an interesting moment where an older woman, is it Isabella Rossellini? There's an older, oh, some older character is talking to the girl, and she's saying something really sad, like, you know, sometimes to get along in this world, you have to accept discomfort. Like, and then there's like a shot of like shoes with like ants all over the shoes. Like, there was some weird surreal imagery in it.
Yeah, very. And there are like insect stuff cut into it too. So it's like, so you're like, okay, this is like a stalker kind of movie. And then there was also this image of like a cockroach being carried off by ants or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, yes.
Oh my God, that was so unsettling. And it's called Cat Person. And the reason why I believe it's called Cat Person was because he told her that he has cats.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then when she's talking, and it shows in the trailer. So, you know, we didn't watch it. It didn't come out yet. But it shows in the trailer that she's talking to her friend about it, that after she had sex with him, she noticed that she didn't see any cats around. So yes. It's like he said he was a cat person to kind of ease her in, because people who have cats aren't violent or dangerous. And
that she says to her friend, like, because the friend goes, why would he lie about having cats? And she said, because it makes him sound nice.
Yeah. And that's just, oh man, something about that kind of like just hit me the wrong way. It was just so unsettling. Like, it was just so calculated on his part. Yeah. You know, so creepy.
It has some kind of twist.
Yes.
Even the trailer says something along the lines of like, this movie will have people talking or something like that.
It does. And by the end of the movie, the main character, the trailer, the main character says something along the lines of, if it won't stop, one of us is going to have to kill each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh my goodness, how many twists are in this trailer?
Yeah.
And there's also a scene with her talking to a cop, and like the cop is repeating exactly what she's saying. Uh-huh. But the way the cop is saying it, like, the connotation is almost like, so he called you a whore? It's like she couldn't report it?
Right, right, right. They were, like, not listening to her.
It was so menacing in that way, too. Yeah, it was like, yeah, yeah. You're asking directly for help, and you're being belittled in a way, you know? I was like, I don't know if I could see that. I feel like it's, maybe right. I'll have to read the story first, but that just made me so uncomfortable.
I'll send you the story.
Thank you.
Did you see A Promising Young Woman?
No, I didn't.
It's not the same story at all, but I saw it and it was very good, although it's a little disturbing. And I felt like similar vibes from it, like that really dark humor vibes. And having something to say about gender dynamics and contemporary dating and rape culture and things like that. It actually reminds me a little bit of, there's a Sex and the City episode where Carrie has what she believes is a one-night stand, but then the guy is overly attached, and she kind of she ends up feeling bad for him because she had just assumed that he also wanted something casual. It's sort of it's sort of playing with the kind of you know, maybe outmoded cliche that men want casual sex and women don't. Because it seems like in this trailer, this guy like loses his shit when the girl is just not interested anymore.
Oh man, that was just I've never had that level amount of, you know, someone being really creepy towards me, but it really made me think about little moments.
Yeah, sure.
Of when someone was creepy with me or at me or around me, and it really brought like just those feelings back, and oh man, it was so uncomfortable. And it's really interesting that, I mean, I know this is based on a story, but it was really interesting that we're at this point where it's like, it's not funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like, I feel like sometimes there's like, if you think of past kind of stories that are sort of similar, it's more like it's kind of a comedic take or not taken as seriously as this. Like, this is taken ultra seriously in a way. Like, he's an aggressor.
Yeah. for sure he seems scary, but I feel like there's some humor here.
Yeah, but when I'm saying it's a dark humor.
Yeah, for
sure. There's humor. I mean a light touch.
Yeah.
Like there's no light touch here.
No. It seems like this is serious. Like it's not, it's like this is really a stalker.
Well, I guess I'm thinking about like kind of sitcoms or comedies where a guy will not let go, you know, or a woman would not let go. And it's just like, oh, this person's annoying. Not like I'm scared. Like I felt like I was scared watching this, like kind of like the main character in a way.
Interesting. You know, someone could listen to us and make the argument that you and I have become so used to Hollywood trailers that give you everything. That when we see trailers that withhold information, we're bewildered by them.
Yeah, because when I actually think about it, I feel like I've watched so many trailers where I feel like I watched the whole movie in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you watch something like this, which is like a sleight of hand or something, or the last three that you sent was like sleight of hand or something, and you're like, wait, I have to keep watching to see if I could figure out where the coin went, you know?
Right.
So it kind of, yeah. So, you know, you pick some really good trailers because it really makes, you know, it does what a trailer is supposed to do, which is pick your interest and make you want to return to this.
Yeah. Well, folks, that was Trailer Corner. I'm interested in seeing all of these films. They could all be bad, by the way, but they at least seem quirky.
Quirky.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back with a chill session. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Miss Nadia Cater. How are you, Nadia?
Excellent. How are you?
Very good. On our break, I went and looked at my mail and I got a package. I recently had a birthday. I turned 40. Can you believe it? And I was given an Amazon card. And so, you know, don't judge me. You know what I mean? Everyone uses Amazon. What can I do? I'm a bad person. But, so I got a new phone case. Look at my new phone case.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it.
It's Showa era Godzilla. Huh, folks? Come on. Who's cooler than me? You texted me during the break and said you wanted to talk about something else from the trailer that you forgot. From the last trailer, Cat Person.
Yeah, so in the... what I will now call the kind of rom-com phase of that trailer, where you think that's where it's going.
Yes.
The main character talks about, like, he's a terrible kisser or something like that, or he's a really bad kisser.
Yeah.
And then it's like this guy is eating her face.
Yeah.
And there's actually an episode of Bob's Burgers about that. And just like... it's like he's just opening his mouth really wide and then just keeps closing it on her mouth and just keep doing that over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's so unsettling. But it's weird because on Bob's Burgers, it's funny. It's one of the early seasons, like season between 1 and 3, where they go on one of those like local station TV shows, and there's like a kid that's like, no, oh my goodness, I'm mixing up the Creeps. There's a few episodes of Bob's Burgers where Tina deals with like a weirdo, awkward guy. And, okay, I'm sorry. It's the Ghost Ship episode where Tina is hanging out with this dork. And then it turns out that the dork is the one is that spray painting the school with this image of a ghost. And he's called Ghost Boy.
Yeah.
So when he's, cause he decides that they should be boyfriend and girlfriend. And then Tina just reluctantly goes along with it. And that's interesting and when he kisses her, it's like he's trying to like eat her face. Like his mouth just keeps getting bigger as it's a cartoon. It's like he's getting but it's interesting to compare it because it's a really close situation, except in the Cat Person one, it's so physically uncomfortable and it goes on for, it's only like 10 seconds, but it felt so much longer than that. I can't imagine what it's like sitting in theater. Sorry.
There's also something very dominating and almost non-consensual in kissing that way. You know what I mean? And not really picking up on the other person's cues that they're not liking it.
Oof. Yeah. And she's like, he's the worst kiss in the world or something. And it's just like, oh. And he just keeps going. It's like, it's not one kiss. It just keeps going. And just like, he keeps like closing and opening his mouth around, like on and around her mouth. And you're just like, oh my God, this is awful.
Yeah.
So that was just like one part of the trailer where I'm just like, oh boy. Okay. This is not what I thought it was.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sometimes I kiss my girlfriend like that just as a bit. You know what I mean? Just a fun bit. You know, like there's a whole shit in my mouth.
there's this Australian sitcom called Kath and Kim about a mother and a daughter who live together, and the mother is dating like and eventually marries this guy that she's really into. But one thing that got real, apparently this was like the Friends version of Australia. Like it was huge at the time. And one of the jokes was whenever the mother would kiss her boyfriend, they'd like open their mouths and like pull back their teeth, like and just go to kiss each other. And then they're always interrupted by something. And later on, I was watching this like retrospective of the show, and like the show was so popular that people would do that at their weddings as a joke. Like they'll go kiss the bride, like, and that would be like in their wedding photos. Like it was so big. So again, another weird instance of like seeing something similar but done so sinisterly is just
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's shake off those weird vibes and chill please. Out.
Chill sesh.
So what are you chilling with?
Okay. So what am I chilling? What am I kind of relaxing with? It's kind of weird. I'm like going out as much as I can, but then also there are days where I'm not moving and I'm just planted in front of the television.
Before we were on the air, you were beginning to tell me about the t-shirt you're wearing. Tell us about that.
Yes. Okay. So, okay. You know, it was 2 weeks ago. There is a band called Invincible Czars. So Czars. Mm-hmm. And what their shtick is they're a band that does live accompaniment to silent movies. And so what they do is they tour with the movies. They'll play what looks like a DVD, and they'll play their instruments and get you to go along. And they recently came to Albuquerque and at the small independent theater. So it's like a one screen theater, which is kind of funny because they actually had to take seats out of the front so the band can fit.
Well,
and so like the band was like
is it like a rock band, like a four-piece band, or is it like a brass band, like what kind of instrumentation?
Yeah, so they're more like a rock band. It's kind of like sometimes it's almost like Tangerine Dream, where it's like okay, so you know what I'm talking about, right?
So
it's kind of this fast tempo, but it really plays well with the silent movie. So it's kind of like that. They have a drummer and they have a keyboard, and they also have someone playing flute. So it kind of like, and it changes depending on what's going on. So you can actually pay what you want and download the movie with their track from their website.
What movies?
The two movies that they did. So they did a double feature. They don't always do that, but this tour they did a double feature of The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and then Nosferatu.
Incredible.
With about a 30 to 40 minute break between two of them. And it was so much fun. Like I was last year they came to town and they did Nosferatu. And I didn't realize like how interested people would be in it because I went to the theater and it was sold out. And that theater almost never sells out. So I was very surprised. So I bought my tickets ahead of time this year and I was like, well, I can't miss them again. And I love The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Mm. That movie, just the aesthetic of that movie is gorgeous. So they also did this really interesting thing where they tried to like include a little bit audience participation. So it's a live, you know, they're playing the movie, they're performing live. So basically what they did is the lead singer, or sorry, the lead would, there's no lyrics. The lead would say, okay, so the, in this, he tries to explain the movie a little bit, and he's like, you know, there's a lot of instances of where people kind of look up deep in thought. So in The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, he's like, so when a character looks up deep in thought, I want everybody to start whispering. Or so cool. There's a scene where a bunch of old ladies are going to come out and scream and Nosferatu. So when you guys see those old ladies, I want you to scare them as loud as you can. So everyone screams. When you see the aardwolf in Nosferatu, they're like, everyone howl like a wolf. And then it's kind of, wow. At first I was like, that's kind of silly. But what I realized is it actually really brings you as close as you can to a movie like that, because those movies are 100 years old. It was so much fun, and they have like a good personality, so it's really engaging.
Was it a good version of the film? Because sometimes they do shit where they're like, it's Nosferatu, but we put a blue tint over the whole thing.
Oh yeah, no, it was actually about? Yeah, I know what you're talking about. From what I remember, it was pretty good. I think it was a Kino Lorber. It looked like a DVD, so I think they were just playing
it. Probably was, yeah, yeah.
And it was a little pricey, like, for what I experienced here, because the cost of living is lowered. Sorry?
Well, how long is that show? That's a pretty big show, right?
Oh, yeah. It was well over 3 hours. Yeah, so yeah. It was a lot. And it was on a Tuesday, so Danielle and I went.
Where did it start?
Yeah. Oh my God. So they let people in at 7. Oh my God. There's no assigned seating at this theater. So yeah. When we went, and it was almost completely full, like people were really ready for it. And so I was like, oh, I'm glad we actually went on time, because how would we even sit together? There's so many people here. So it was a long night, and you know, now I'm a person. You know, you just mentioned you just had a birthday and you're 40. I'm reaching my mid-30s, and it's like, I'm tired. I don't want to be at a movie on Tuesday.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, we got out like after 11. So we had to get out so with the pauses, and they were a little slow in starting, but they also sold merchandise. So I got this t-shirt and I got two posters. Danielle got a Cabinet of Dr. Caligari shirt. It was an expensive, fun night. And I was like, you know what? I'm paying for experiences. This is really unique.
Yeah. Sometimes it's worth being a little tired.
Worth it.
Yeah. Alamo is doing a retrospective of all of Kubrick's work. So on a Monday of all days, Monday, October 2nd at 7 p.m., we're going to see Eyes Wide Shut. So we're going to get late. And depressed on a Monday night. Talk about a case of the Mondays. What are you doing tonight? Oh, I'm going at 7 o'clock. I'm going to see Eyes Wide Shut. It's going to be incredible. I love Eyes Wide Shut.
I haven't seen it.
Oh my God. I love it. It's so good. Watch it.
It's one of those things that are just on my list, and I just have to get it done.
Sure, of course. Of course.
The sake of watching it.
What else you been chilling with? You reading anything?
Yes.
Okay.
So I just started this book today. Okay. So it's, you know, it's September now. We're getting into spooky season. So I'm trying to hype myself.
Despite the fact it's 9,000 degrees outside.
Yes. I'm trying to ignore that. I had to stop myself from buying pumpkins at the supermarket yesterday. I was like, can you just wait? Let's wait before they rot outside.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm ready. So I'm reading. Yeah, I know, Mike, you're just such a big Halloween person. So I know this is like.
My birthday is the official start of Halloween. September.
I love that. That's perfect. Because you get over a month. Like basically you get almost 2 months of Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
As it should be.
As it should be.
So I started two things. I started reading The Fall of the House of Usher.
Ooh, I've read that.
Yeah, it's very
incest.
Yeah, it's so gothy. I'm like, okay.
I know, that's what I love about like stories like that, where it's like not a lot happens, but like there's so much there in terms of tone.
Yeah, it's like it's atmospheric and it's interesting to read that. Yeah.
So are you hyped or not for the new Mike Flanagan Netflix show of Fall of the House of Usher?
You know, you texted me about that the other day and I was like, he did a great, like he was the one that did The Haunting of Hill House, right? So it's like,
and then he did Turning of the Screw. So he has a history of taking stories and expanding them into TV series and adding a bunch of new material.
I would say the Haunting of Hill House was excellent. I thought it was like a near perfect TV show or season.
Right.
And The Turning of the Screw, The Haunting of Bly Manor, I liked a lot of parts of it, but I felt like some things weren't handled well. And I gotta say, I was so mad when they had a whole episode about the history of that, the dead woman walking around killing people. Sorry, what?
The woman in the lake?
The woman in the lake. I did not need that backstory. I don't want that backstory. She was scary. Then okay. I learned that she had a tragic life, and I was like, I don't give a shit. Now you're not scary anymore. Because that the imagery and like how the woman of the lake walked was so unsettling.
Okay. I didn't hate that, but I do think season one is way, way better.
Yeah.
What did you think of Dr. Sleep? He directed Dr. Sleep.
You know, actually, I didn't see that.
Okay.
What I was doing was, I was like, okay, let me watch The Shining again. And then I did, and then I never, and I forgot to watch Doctor. Like, that was the point of me watching The Shining. Was like, I'm going to watch The Shining again to prepare myself for Doctor Sleep, because I didn't read the book. And then I just never, I just forgot. And it's one of those things that's on my list, too.
Sure. The list is, have you seen the Vincent Price version of Full House of Usher?
No, I want to, though.
That one is... Is it Harvey? Who did that? Roger Corman. Not Harvey Corman. He's from Carol Burnett Show. Roger Corman, yeah. It's one of his good movies.
It's just so interesting to see Roger Corman's legacy. It's like, he did a whole bunch of Edgar Allan Poe adaptations, which, you know, are here or there.
Actually good.
Are pretty good. But then he has, like, Jurassic garbage.
Yeah, like a lot of like schlock.
It's just such a weird filmography, you know? Like,
I feel like people are more impressed by his acumen than by him as an artist. You know, everything you hear is like, oh, do you know he can make a movie in 3 afternoons? And it's like, okay, was it a good movie though? Or, you know, he would use the same set for 7 movies. And it's like, I guess that's smart.
I think it's more like from a business or industry perspective, like a producer perspective, amazing.
Yeah.
From any other perspective, this is crap. It's like, oh, your budget was $100? Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah. Shudder, by the way. You should watch his movie of it. I think it's pretty good.
I did. I think when we watched the Mask of the Red Death, did he do that?
He did a bunch of them. He did a Raven, I think. He did The Pit and the Pendulum.
Yeah, so there's a ton of them, yeah. And I it's like on my spooky movies list.
Sure.
So it's like all that gothic stuff. But back to your original question, am I excited for it? I'm like, I'm not excited. I hope it's good. It might not be. But, you know, you can also chalk it up to, like, The Haunting of Bly Manor was was the sophomoric, you know. Yeah, it's the slump. And then the third thing is usually where that person goes. So it could be good or bad.
The third thing I did not see, which was Midnight Mass. Did you see that?
Oh damn it. I already messed it up. No, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. People like that. I didn't see it, though.
Okay, so he has, like, it's, you know, oh, this actually looks good.
He's working on a Dark Tower TV show.
They're still trying with that? Like, let it go, man.
Yes, they will. They are still trying with that.
Like, how much money do you have to lose on a property before you give up? But I'll check it out. Like, I don't, you know, I have hope. that it would be good. I'm still reading it. I started something really wild today, though, so I thought you might be interested. It's called Professor Dowell's Head, and this cover art is great.
Yeah, it looks like a Russian Revolution propaganda.
It does. And it was written in like 1925 or something.
Okay.
So the premise is actually kind of creepy. This scientist collected his colleague's head after, like, the colleague donated his body to science.
Sure.
The main character used that and basically found a method to reanimate bodies. So it's called Professor Dowell's Head because Professor Dowell, his head is on a desk in his office.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is so gruesome. And it's told from the perspective of this young woman who's hired to work for the scientists. And he aggressively, like, makes her agree to not tell anyone what she's going to be working with him on. And then the next thing is, like, she's basically, like, taking care of this head.
Okay.
And it's so creepy. It's just the way it's described and how, like, the head can't talk, but it could communicate, like, you know, blinking his eyes and stuff like that. It kind of reminded me of Reanimator a little bit. So
it sounds kind of H.P. Lovecrafty.
Yeah, and it just makes me so uncomfortable. And I'm like, you know, but in a way where it's like, so I'm going to feel like atmospheric in very different ways this Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you? Or are you reading anything spooky?
I read a Disney book called Raising the Horsemen, which is like, it's like a YA, LGBTQ love novel. But what if the great 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 granddaughter of Katrina Van Tassel from Sleepy Hollow fell in love with the great 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 granddaughter of Ichabod Crane, so it's got fun, it's got a fun, like, cute queer love story. It's interesting that it's from Disney, and it goes, and one of the interesting touches is that the Sleepy Hollow film is a anthology film. It's the Wind in the Willows and Sleepy Hollow, or the Adventures of Ichabod Crane. I forget exactly what it's called, but yeah, that's Mr. Toad and stuff. So as a nod to that, all of the girls' teachers are named after Mr. Toad characters. It was cute. It was a good spooky vibes. I just started reading a book on the sort of like cultural impact of Ghostbusters.
Ooh, okay. Nerd alert.
Yeah, absolutely. What is it called? It is called A Convenient Parallel Dimension. So, I'm trying to get into the spooky books and spooky movies, and you know, that's what this is all about. And last night, was it last night? No, two nights ago, Alamo did a movie party for Clue, and me and Jen went to it, and it was a really good crowd. Everyone loved Clue. Everyone applauded and quoted along with the movie. It's such a fucking incredible movie. I've seen it so many times, and still I notice new things every time I see it. It's so good.
Can you give me an example of something you noticed this time around?
This time around, I don't know how I always miss this, but when Yvette, the over-sexualized French maid, who's not really French, when she sits down on the couch, she looks like she's sort of adjusting her dress, but she obviously, like, picks up her dress and shows everyone her underwear very quickly. It's a weird, it's like a blink and you'll miss it. The other thing that I noticed for the first time ever, and I've seen this movie a million times, is that the house is actually in pretty bad shape. Like, outside of the first floor, like, when they go upstairs, there's broken windows and really, like, shabby floors. And when they go in the basement, it's not as austere as I always sort of imagined it. Like, outside of the first floor, the mansion that they're in is kind of falling apart. Speaking of...
That is interesting. So... what does that do for this? Does that do anything for the story? Like, does that, because
Well, I mean, it's so most they're all being blackmailed, right? So they all have their public persona and their private persona. They're all going by pseudonyms: Mr. Green, Professor Plum, the Scarlet,
Colonel Mustard.
Yeah, Colonel Mustard. So maybe it's similar, like the House too is presenting a version of itself. Like the first floor looks like it's, you know, the manner of a wealthy person. But when you go upstairs, you can see it's actually falling apart.
That's interesting. That does put like a perspective on things too, because So, I mean, it could be that Mr. Body needs that money to blackmail them because the house is falling apart and he can't take care of it.
Yeah, he also blackmails people into servitude, right? Like the butler doesn't have the money to pay him, so that he becomes his butler. Same thing with the cook. So all of his house staff are all people that are like in servitude to him.
Oh, that is interesting. And what a great, like, what do you call it? Just what a great opportunity to watch that movie, because I feel like that's not the same effect watching it at home. Like it's really like a theatrical movie, you know?
Right.
Like it's not nearly as fun as people kind of chime in.
They need to build a like really expensive B&B that it looks like the house from Clue. I want to go in. I want to walk around that house. It does not exist. It never did. It was the interior was a Paramount set. But it's like I want to go inside of it.
Oh man. Maybe someday Paramount Plus will make enough money for Paramount.
Yeah.
And they will start investing in other opportunities.
Right, right. Well, that's where they go, right? That's where Disney went, and that's where MGM went. That's a good way to extend your portfolio, go into hospitality.
Absolutely.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with our current obsessions. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm joined today by Nadia Cater. Hey, PCMC is available anywhere podcasts are found. Not on Stitcher, because rest in peace, they're gone after, what, almost 10 years or something. No more Stitcher. But you can get us everywhere else pods are found. You can also find episodes of PCMC on YouTube. We're all over all social media at PCMC Pod. And please like and subscribe and share with your friends. As they say on YouTube videos, hit that subscribe button, bitch. That's what they usually, that's how Freddy Krueger would say it. Hit the subscribe button, bitch. So this is Current Obsessions. This is what we are currently obsessed with. Nadia, if you don't mind, I'd like to go first.
Please do.
My current obsession is a beverage. It's being called at Starbucks. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I know where this is going.
You don't.
Okay.
It's not a pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, shit.
It is the pumpkin cream chai latte. And it is the best thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Whoa.
Pumpkin cream chai latte. You know how chai lattes taste like Christmas?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. So it's got that going for it. But then it's got this foam that has this intense pumpkin flavor that's so sweet. And then the foam, you know, drips to the bottom of the chai, and then the whole thing's foamy, and it's so fucking good. Now, there is a downside, which is this drink gives me terrible diarrhea.
Every time?
So far, most times. Although,
okay.
I do take lactate. I started taking lactate. I'm 40 now. You know what I mean? So I started taking lactate when I eat dairy. But I think the foam is just too much for even the lactate to overcome. And my stomach was really fucked up early this week. And Jen was like, well, you have had like one of those chai lattes like every day. So
every day.
Yeah. So it's incredible. So I stopped for a little while and my stomach got better. And now I'm going to try one again tomorrow.
Because oh my god!
It's so fucking good though. It's like, remember in Big Mouth when the dad was allergic to shellfish, but he still ate it and it gave him diarrhea.
Well, that
it's pulling in my shoes.
That I would argue is one of Richard Kind's best reforms. You know, is it really made out of cream, or is it like that fake cream bullshit? Because if it's real, like heavy cream, it doesn't matter how much lactate you're going to take. That's going
right.
to turn through your system yeah. like razor blades.
Right, right. I think I might be wrong, but I think it might have egg white in it too.
Oh,
so it's like it's for real. It's real deal cream, but oh, the pumpkin, oh, so you're, good.
Oh my god, you really like. I think that's what I'm going to do tomorrow, because if I go to Starbucks after this, I'm going to be up all
You're
night.
A temper.
Well, good thing tomorrow's Saturday. I don't have to work. I could just camp on the toilet the entire day. And like, just roll my TV in there. So, but the way you're describing this sounds awesome.
It's worth it. It's worth diarrhea.
Can you like the age thing? Really, it's getting older, especially with our terrible American diets. Even when you eat healthy, there's something terrible in it. All the time. It's like inevitable.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard to. It's you're fighting a battle forever to stay slightly healthy. Yeah. I mean, I try to do as best. I don't try to do as best as I can, because that's too much effort. I try to maintain my body. I work out once a week. On Saturdays or Sundays, I go to the gym. I warm up. I lift weights. I usually do 1 or 2 weights for each section of my body, like my back, my core, my arms and legs. And then I'll do like 45 minutes of cardio. So I get a pretty good workout once a week. And that's it. It makes me feel good. You know what I mean? It's that's all. It's keeping the meat going.
It is, you know, I know people argue against it, but it really is better. Doing something once a week or like twice a week is better than nothing. And in exercise, it really is.
Right. But the thing is, like, whenever I tell people I work out once a week, they're like, no, you gotta work out 3 times a week. It's like, you are acting, in your mind, you think that the choice is between once a week and 3 times a week. In fact, the choice is between once a week and never a week.
Yeah, so exactly.
I'm making the correct choice for myself.
Which is once a week.
Once a week. Why not? Yeah.
It works for you. Yeah. And that's fine. And then the rest...
have pumpkin cream chai lattes, and it destroys your insides.
Okay, so I have to ask, are you having the pumpkin cream chai on your workout days?
I have never had it before a workout.
No, that would be a mistake.
But I have had it after. I have had it after.
I feel like it would be a great treat after. Before, you'd probably be banned from the gym.
I like to have a treat in mind while I'm working out. Like, okay, when I'm done with this, I'm going to get this treat. It's going to be so... Usually it's a protein smoothie, because I can be like, yeah, it's protein. It's good. Usually it's from Tropical Smoothie Cafe, which is another corporation I'm a fan of. Don't let anyone ever tell you that I have, you know, like sophistication and dignity. Today I've talked about Starbucks, Amazon, but fuck Jeff Bezos. So what's your current obsession?
Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing like that. Well, actually, you know what? Okay, I'm going to be real. It is a food base. I'm actually currently obsessed with Raising Cane's. Did they come to New York yet?
No, I don't know what that is.
Raising Cane's. Well, you're vegetarian still, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not your up your alley anyway. So Raising Cane's is a chain of chicken. That's all they have is like chicken strips and fries and like coleslaw.
Okay.
And then drinks and a couple of sauces, not a lot. So it's just a chain of chicken strips. And there's something about how they perfectly salt the French fries and whatever spices and coating is on the chicken. It's just delicious, and a 3-piece combo is the perfect amount of food for me. I'm never wanting more. I'm not hungry. It's a perfect meal. I don't have to worry about eating for hours, and it's consistent. When it first, it opened up like down the block from my apart. Like, actually, it's further than that, but it feels like down the block. So I can just drive to the drive-thru.
I'm looking at pictures of it.
It's stupid delicious.
I'm getting Checkers vibes.
In a way, but Checkers, when I think of Checkers, I think of their like French fries that has a bunch of cheese and bacon bits on it that was similar diarrhea to the pumpkin cream.
The big, and then the burger, the Big Buford.
Yeah. But like Raisin Cane's is not greasy and it's always the same. Like I've been to different fast food places.
Is it Christian? Like the other one is Christian? Chick-fil-A? It's kind of a Christian name, right?
It seems like it. I have no clue, but they opened it.
If you found out that they like give their chicken money to like pro-life organizations.
So here's the thing.
I'm not saying they do. This is a hypothetical.
Right. But this is the thing, and that kind of annoyed me about Chick-fil-A. You guys have no one knows what these rich assholes that work for these companies and the CEOs, where they give their money.
Sure.
Only when it's announced does everyone go up in arms. But you cannot tell me.
Really into it. They even take all. They even close on Sundays.
Oh yeah. Well, they're like super into it. Sure. Which is I don't care. I don't care because it's like okay, but then I can't go. I'm gonna go somewhere else. But then who knows what that asshole's doing? Or you can't shop at Home Depot because they're super homophobic.
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
That's what I'm getting at. Yes. When my rambling is coming to. There are definitely instances where I do feel like, okay, I can't justify using this service, but I never cared about that with fast food. Who cares? Also, what's funny is
some Raisin Cane's soon. Like, I'm gonna try out those fries. Do they have shakes?
I can't even remember if they have shakes.
It's probably a place that would.
Yeah, I don't know. But I actually been getting their Arnold Palmer's.
Ooh.
Which is just, I don't know what they do, but the perfect mix of iced tea and lemonade. And I'm enjoying it. And what's funny is they opened up the Raisin Cane's across the street from Chick-fil-A.
Ooh.
And the first month and a half it was open, that line for the drive-thru was completely full. It's in a supermarket parking lot. So like the Raisin Cane's is like all the way at the end, and then all the way at the back is the supermarket.
Yeah.
And there would be lines of cars that would wrap around the supermarket. So it would be like dozens and dozens of cars going to Raisin, and it was packed all the time. I went at 11:30 this morning because I was like, okay, one meeting I had this morning ended, and then I had another meeting coming up, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going out for lunch at 11:30 in the morning, but I have no food in the house and I don't have time. Right. So I drove out there. I still waited for 20 minutes. There was still a bunch of cars at 11:30 in the morning.
What did you get at 11?
Also, I got chicken strips and fries and an Arnold Palmer, and it was great.
Ew.
It's across the street from, I don't know why my neighborhood turned into the chicken district. So like Raising Cane's across the street from Chick-fil-A, and then like a couple blocks down, there's a Popeyes.
Popeyes is so good. Sometimes I order just the Popeyes fries and biscuits and make a meal out of it.
Oh man, those fries were good too. But the Popeyes has been really inconsistent. So sometimes it'll be really great and then sometimes it'll be terrible. Raisin Cane's, I've been like five times. It's always the same. Correct. They're also opening up another chicken place called Slim Chickens.
Okay.
In my neighborhood. And I'm like, why are all these chicken places? People are mad about chicken. Like, I don't get it. But I'm enjoying it.
Chicken is delicious. I don't eat it, but it is delicious.
Something about fried chicken that just really hits a spot, you know? Fried beef.
I remember.
Well, fried tofu also tastes really good, too. But it really depends on how it's created, you know?
Yeah, I'm a fan of Chinese food places that do General Tso's tofu.
Oh.
That shit's delicious.
Oh man, I haven't had General Tso's anything in so long. So long.
Well, that's the thing about New York. It's the best thing about New York.
All the food.
Yeah.
Oh man, you're right.
Well, that's great. Jen would love this. She loves chicken. There's one in Broadway. So I might go into the city for some. Oh my God, open from 9 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Yeah, what is up with that?
Good for them. That's nice.
I want to know what lunatic is getting fried chicken and french fries at 9 in the morning.
Drunk people.
Very, very drunk.
High people.
At 9 in the morning.
Well, this is incredible. I'm actually hungry now. Nadia, thank you so much for being here. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Mike, thanks so much. This was great. So much fun.
I'm going to go commit suicide by having Raising Cane and washing it down with some pumpkin cream chai latte, and then I'll be gone. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.